WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. Hurricane Melissa was one for the record books when it slammed ashore in southwestern Jamaica today. Sustained winds were at 185 miles per hour. The National Hurricane Center's Michael Brennan says it's exiting now.
The eye of Melissa has moved across Jamaica and is emerging off the north coast now, about 15 miles east of Montego Bay, moving off to the north-northeast at 8 miles.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. Hurricane Melissa was one for the record books when it slammed ashore in southwestern Jamaica today. Sustained winds were at 185 miles per hour. The National Hurricane Center's Michael Brennan says it's exiting now.
The eye of Melissa has moved across Jamaica and is emerging off the north coast now, about 15 miles east of Montego Bay, moving off to the north-northeast at 8 miles per hour. So for people in Jamaica, still very dangerous conditions across the island, a hurricane warning in effect, the potential for destructive winds and damaging winds likely to continue across Jamaica this evening, especially on the north coast, especially in the areas of high topography.
A storm is now impacting Cuba, where very heavy rainfall is expected. The Gaza ceasefire was tested again today when Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu ordered the army to carry out strikes in Gaza. Israel claimed Hamas fired on its forces in southern Gaza, but there was also anger over Hamas handing over body parts that Israel identified as the remains of a hostage recovered earlier in the war. Reporter Frank Gardner.
They're calling it a blatant deception by Hamas. They are livid with Hamas. They want there to be consequences. It's threatening the Trump ceasefire plan, I would say.
Day 28 of the government shutdown and a day closer to SNAP benefits running out for millions of Americans. Jonathan O'Brien has reaction from Atlanta.
The loss of SNAP benefits will put families under serious financial strain, and Allison Ash, president of Wellroot Family Services in Atlanta, says this can have a cascading effect on the family unit.
Economic hardship is one of the major drivers of why children end up in the child welfare system.
She says financial hardship forces families into tough decisions and can lead to abuse or neglect.
The whole family system and safety net can start to unravel.
Roughly 1.4 million people in Georgia are enrolled in SNAP.
Some airlines are feeding air traffic controllers who went without their first full paycheck today. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy said shutdowns like this don't help in recruitment.
If you see that you pick a career where you may not be paid for a partial payment, one paycheck, the next paycheck you're not paid, and maybe a third, that'll make you rethink, do I want to go into this profession?
There was another U.S. strike on alleged drug boats today. CBS's Charlie Daggett.
We heard from Secretary Hegseth, and you know, he had said that this is going to be a daily occurrence. 14 individuals were killed. The survivor, there was a search and rescue that was scrambled, largely with help from Mexican search and rescue teams.
The strikes were carried out in the eastern Pacific on four boats. The first time multiple strikes were announced on the same day. Stocks finished higher. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
CBS News Special Report. Hurricane Melissa slammed Jamaica today with torrential rain and winds as high as 185 miles an hour. They've slowed a bit, but CBS's Rob Marciano says they are still dangerous.
The wind, especially at the higher elevations where the winds are more extreme, just going to flatten trees, certainly take out some of the buildings and the homes across western parts of Jamaica. That's where we're going to see, I think, the most visible, devastating damage.
And there is extensive damage already being reported across southwestern Jamaica, and more than 500,000 people are without power. Aretha Taylor wrote out the storm in Ocho Rios.
There are a lot of the schools, high schools and middle schools, that they've turned into shelters. And they're also busing people into the shelters.
The eye is now heading towards Cuba, where it's expected to make landfall overnight. CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacy Lynn.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky, lows in the mid-30s. A return to a mostly sunny day for tomorrow, highs in the mid-50s. And partly sunny for Thursday, highs in the low 50s. cooling through Friday into the weekend. Currently 49 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
5 o'clock, I'm joined by Rachel LaCasse Ford. She's a mom of two and a small business owner. She discusses her personal struggles to find affordable health care and what the ACA subsidies mean to her and her family.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6, as Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
So keep us informed.
Will do. Thank you so much for having me on.
Very welcome. Have a great night.
All right, you too.
All right, that's Max Hay. Check out the film. If it comes to a theater near you or a streaming platform, we'll do our best to let you know. But it's called Now More Yes, and that was Max Hay. Rob Thomas is coming up at 7:20. We're going to talk about the new Frankenstein movie, see what Rob thought about that, and one battle after another, because last time Rob was here, he hadn't seen it yet. For once in my life, I beat Rob to a movie, so I'm anxious to talk about that with Rob. You watched Beetlejuice to gear up for Halloween. How did that? You say you watch that every year?
Yeah, I do. I really like the original Beetlejuice.
Okay.
And this time I actually watched it at Timber Tap in Kimberly.
Oh, yeah.
They had a movie night and it was, you know, Halloween themed. So I had a couple drinks and watched Beetlejuice with my brother and my sister-in-law. So yeah, it was fun. And I just really enjoy the film.
Yeah. You want to hear something fun? I've never seen it.
Really?
Never seen the original Beetlejuice. It just did not appeal to me when it came out. You know?
It's not scary.
Right. Well, that's not why I didn't
watch think
it.
The comedy you would really like in it, though.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a huge Michael Keaton fan. Love Michael Keaton.
Oh, you love him in this. Love him in this. He's hilarious.
Yeah. Let's get to some texts here. Our question of the night is, how do you like your chocolate? It is National Chocolate Day. And that's a great topic. I love talking about things I try not to eat, like booze, chocolate. I find some connection to them just by talking about them. I really do enjoy that. Paula, Conrad's mom, checks in from the 920 and says, raspberry chocolate martini. Oh, my God. You know, I've never tried one of those.
You know, I tried, when they lived in Key West, my parents, really I tried a key lime martini.
Oh my God. How good was that?
So good. It had graham cracker like on the edge of the, oh, it was so good.
I need some help right now. I'm like, honest to God, that sounds so delicious. And I don't, even this chocolate raspberry martini, I've never tried the chocolate martinis. It never appealed. Like sound gross, but I'm sure they're good because people love them.
It's like, it's just, you know, you get a little warm from them, but so like sweet too. It's really good.
But the key lime, that's good with anything.
Oh, so good.
Jack from Merrimack says, how do I like my chocolate? The best combination I've ever had is vanilla chocolate cake ice cream from Babcock Hall. I don't know Babcock Hall, but I love chocolate or ice cream cake. We've talked about that recently on the show. That's Jack from the 414. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the text. Lori from Hayward's, she's in the 715, says, in my mouth. Well, I should have clarified what orifice I was speaking of, but I thought that was understood.
Lori. Any type of chocolate.
Any type of chocolate in Lori's mouth is what she's saying there. Great text, Lori. Thank you. Tyler, we read Tyler's, we read Ross's, we took Ollie's call. Pamela from Wisconsin Rapids, she's in the 715, says, in chocolate chip cookies. Nice. A longtime listener of WFHR just brought in fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies this afternoon. She brings us cookies every month. We are so fortunate to have such great listeners. Pamela, that is great. Thank you. Boy, would it kill our listeners to bring us some cookies once in a while? I mean, I'm not trying to...
Yeah, nothing better than freshly baked chocolate chip cookies.
I got to be honest with you. That was a joke, obviously. If someone showed up here at the studio with cookies, I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. I wouldn't.
I'm diving in.
Well, it would probably depend on who it was, but some guy just moseys up with a plate of cookies. I'm not going to partake.
You want some cookies?
Yeah. I'm not going to.
I do.
Conrad will eat them, so if you're listening. John from the 608 says, love the show, Conrad and Peter. Conrad spelled with a C. You guys are the best. How do I like my chocolate? Rich and delicious and right next to me in hand's reach. Total chocoholic, daily user. Nothing wrong with that, John. And John's a very honest guy. He also says it's loaded with benefits. Right, Conrad?
Well, you know, if you're talking about, you know, dark chocolate, definitely. If you're talking about milk chocolate, I don't know about that one.
Well, those benefits are just that it tastes amazing. Dark chocolate has antioxidants in it.
Exactly,
it is truly
yes.
A superfood. John also said, oh, I read that. He loves Ollie. She's the sweetest thing. Ollie's getting a lot of love tonight from the couch potatoes. Steve in Florida says, I love all types of chocolate, just like Frito-Lay chips. You can't eat just one. Yeah, chips are the same.
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Frito-Lays suck.
What do you mean Frito-Lay suck? Fritos? Like, the actual Fritos?
Yeah, the Fritos, like those little corn ones, you know?
I can't believe I'm going to come after you over Fritos, and that's going to cut into our Norm McDonald time. Do we have time to play the Norm clip?
Yes.
Let's play it.
Yes,
we'll pick up the Frito argument later. This is a funny clip of Norm.
Listen, the gals are in the news a lot. What about Kate Gosselin?
Yes, Kate Gosselin is someone who people are talking about a bit.
Yeah, from John and Kate Plus 8. She's in the news. She says she's very lonely now and she wants to date. Mm-hmm. And this is an interesting coincidence, Conan, because just the other day I was saying, hey, I wonder if I could ever hook up with a middle-aged, bitter lady with 7-8 kids.
I love Norm MacDonald. His kid, I'm in the algorithm. They keep popping up and they're so damn funny. And I don't want to give people Norm fatigue. But what, really, Fritos? You don't. How do you not?
They're
like
too salty.
They're salty, but they're corn. They're like the most. Those and potato chips are like no preservatives. I mean, they're the healthiest chip you can have.
They're health food. Any chips are not great, but
yeah,
those ones to me just taste like salt, and I just don't like it because I can have one and I'll be like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, but what chip doesn't taste like salt?
Well, I mean, that one's just straight salt. You know,
it's delicious. All right, we're coming back. Rob Thomas is going to be here. We're going to talk movies. He saw Frankenstein. Stick around, folks. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Nothing's ever too far. Glitter in the sky, glitter in our eyes, shining just the way we are. I feel like we're forever every time we get together, but whatever, let's get lost on Mars.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Here are a list of upcoming events in the central Wisconsin area on Friday, October 31st. The Vesper Volunteer Fire Department is hosting a brat fry from 4 to 7:30 p.m., and the Vesper Recreation Committee will have games and treats from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. in the community center. The Beer and Fire Department will have trucks at the park from 5 to 7 p.m., and firefighters will hand out candy. Trunk or treat at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693, 3 until 6 p.m., with candy and food trucks. Don't forget to wear your costume. Followed by the Heartbeats Dance at the Elks Lodge from 6 p.m. until midnight. Trick or treat at McMillan Library, 4 to 5:30 p.m. Come in costumes, get treats at the service desks, and be sure to stop at the all-purpose room for a treat and to have your picture taken at the photo booth. Wisconsin Rapids Haunted Walkthrough event at the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department from 3 to 5 p.m. This free, spooky, family-friendly event is open to the community, offering a safe and fun way for kids and families to collect candy. Wishing you a safe and happy Halloween from WFHR and WIRI.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. You try to scream.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network. I just got a Facebook friend request from someone who has one friend.
You can be the second.
I never call people losers, but it's got to be a thing, right? That's like, How do you have one social media friend? I could see in real life, it's hard to make a social media. Everyone should have tons of friends. That's why I think it's some kind of scam.
You should accept the friend request message saying loser.
That's not my style. I might think it. All right. We are going to turn our attention now, folks, to the wonderful art of cinema and talk movies with our pal, Rob Thomas. He is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor and a Madison-based film critic. And we love having him on Nightlight, as always. And that's why we have him on so much. Rob Thomas. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've hooked up my camera. So I'm trying to jump into at least the late 20th century, if not the 21st century.
That's awesome. Well, you look great. Your office looks great. I like the wall color. That's very slick.
Yes, this is my younger daughter's former room before she moved away to college. So I'm don't tell her that I'm appropriating it as my office.
I won't say anything because I did the same thing with my son. Well, he was done with college and he left and I said, do you mind if I use your room? You know, I was going to do it anyway, but I wanted to make him think he had a choice. And I said, you know, it's still your room, but I'm just going to put a desk and a mic in there. And he goes, yeah. He goes, Dad, do whatever you want. All right. So I did that. And he's like, he had a bunch of baseball cards on the wall and I took them down. He's like, you took down the baseball cards? Well, yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I don't have the nerve to take down like the fairy lights and the Boy Genius poster yet, but we're going to ease into it here.
Yeah, he was 23 or 23 when I did that. I couldn't do it to my daughter's room right now either. No way. Hey, it's good to see you, buddy, and thanks for being here. Do you have a favorite way you like your chocolate, Rob?
Favorite way I like my, well, orally. I mean, yeah.
You're the second person that had to clarify that. I just thought that was assumed. I don't know what people are doing out there.
I think Reese's peanut butter cups, especially the Halloween, like the, is it pumpkins?
Oh, yeah.
That's like the perfect peanut butter to chocolate ratio.
I agree because there's more there's a little bit more chocolate. Yeah. That's great. Yep. That's a great call. Well, let's jump in because I'm excited. You've seen a lot of these movies I haven't seen yet. And I don't, you know, you saw Frankenstein. Is that in theaters yet?
It's in some theaters, cause it's a Netflix movie. I think a lot of theaters still don't play them, but it's playing at Flicks Brewhouse here in Madison.
It appears
on Netflix like November 7th, I think. So,
okay.
And it was one I really wanted to see on the big screen cause it's Guillermo del Toro who makes these great movies like Shape of Water and Pan's Labyrinth, and you know,
let's save Frankenstein for after the break because I'm very eager to hear what you have to say, and I'm sure listeners are too. But let's start with the film that we didn't discuss last time, One Battle After Another. Your thoughts?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved it. Might be my favorite of the year. It's definitely top three at this point. You know, when I saw the trailer, I was like, this is going to be a really intense movie.
Yeah.
And it was. But what I was not expecting is how funny it was. Like, we were laughing a lot in the movie. It's so, like, Leonardo DiCaprio is so funny. He plays this ex-revolutionary, and you think he's going to be kind of the hero, and he's really kind of a bumbler. You know, he's trying to rescue his daughter, who's much more well-equipped. And then Sean Penn plays the villain, this really right-wing army guy who's very scary, but also very funny and sort of just bizarre. And, you know, it's a movie it feels very rewatchable to me because there's so much incredible sequences. Like, I mean, there's an actual car chase at the end. Like, that's like a car chase I've never seen before.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it was incredible. I know you saw it as well, right?
I did, and I liked it a lot, and I agree with you. And I you know, some people are saying it's a political movie. It has a message. There's no question about that. And there are white supremacists are the bad guys in this weird club they have. But I tell friends of mine on the right, I go, well, you know, it does poke fun at the left too. I mean, it's a little, they're not saying the left is evil, but there's a lot of stuff to laugh at. It's just a good movie, and I don't think people are going to be offended when they see it. I think even people on the right would go, yeah, there are bad people like that.
You know? Yeah, and I was thinking it would be much more 2025-centric, and there's certainly things in the film that remind you of what's going on in the news now. But it's a much bigger story about fathers and daughters and the struggle that's been going on and will probably always be going on in America. Right. So it's a much bigger scope. And like I said, good.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Rob. Go. I didn't mean to cut
you. Just much more entertaining than I expected.
Yeah.
It's not a message movie at all. Yeah.
Correct. That's a great way to put it. And I did think, I loved how, like you said, how funny it was. Like, he gets reactivated. He can't remember his password. He's yelling at the guy that his daughter's in danger. Very funny. But the physical comedy, when he fell off that roof, I was laughing hysterically.
Yeah. I don't know how they did that, because that really looks like him.
Yeah.
And like, he would die if he did that. Yeah. And that, and just him, like, I would imagine a lot of middle-aged guys are going to be going as him for Halloween, pulling out a bathrobe and Oakley sunglasses. I mean, I certainly would. He's just sort of this ridiculous figure, but like, you know, he's also, if not a hero, at least trying to be a good dad. It's a great movie.
He steps up. Yeah, it was great. I would say that and Sinners are probably my two favorites, and I would lean toward this one. I loved it. Now, I haven't seen Frankenstein yet, and I'm sure I'm forgetting one, but great film.
Yeah, Black Bag's my third in the top.
Oh, yeah, right, that's now up there too.
Yeah.
All right, that's the voice of Rob Thomas, folks. He's joining us tonight over the stream from Madison. We're going to take a quick news break here, and then when we come back, Rob is going to tell us about Frankenstein. It looks great, is it? Rob will tell us when we come back. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As the year winds down, it's time for a financial tune-up. Here are some steps to consider. If you're 73 or older, you'll need to take required minimum distributions from
CBS News Special Report. Hurricane Melissa slammed Jamaica today with torrential rain and winds as high as 185 miles an hour. They've slowed a bit, but CBS's Rob Marciano says they are still dangerous.
The wind, especially at the higher elevations where the winds are more extreme, just going to flatten trees, certainly take out some of the buildings and the homes across western parts of Jamaica. That's where we're going to see, I think, the most visible, devastating damage.
And there is extensive damage already being reported across southwestern Jamaica. And more than a 500,000 people are without power. Aretha Taylor wrote out the storm in Ocho Rios.
There are a lot of the schools, high schools and middle schools, that they've turned into shelters. And they're also busing people into these shelters.
The eye's now heading towards Cuba, where it's expected to make landfall overnight. CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Badgers basketball in the spotlight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports College Hoops. The Badgers men's basketball team getting ready to host Campbell University out of North Carolina next Monday night at the Kohl's Center. Wisconsin ranked 24th in the nation. Head coach Greg Gard, are the Badgers getting some national attention at the start?
Well, I think it's always been on the national radar. Whether you're ranked or not varies from year to year and varies within the year. I think this program is very well respected nationally. I think it's been extremely stable and extremely consistent over the last 25 plus years. So whether you get ranked right away, how high you get ranked, really that's irrelevant. You still have to go play the games.
Baseball game four of the World Series continues tonight in LA. The Dodgers winning last night over the Blue Jays 6-5 in a game that lasted 18 innings. Freddie Freeman with a walk-off home run. The Dodgers Shohei Ohtani getting on base 9 times, a postseason record with 2 home runs. With Sports, on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There is new news on the latest Bob Odenkirk action film. The multi-talented Emmy winner and Better Call Saul star had back-to-back action roles with Nobody and Nobody 2. Headed to the big screen next spring from Magnolia Pictures is Odenkirk's latest action film, Normal, which will drop April 17th of 2026 on over 2,000 screens, which is Magnolia Pictures' largest release ever, according to Deadline.com. I'm 61, and I hope to remain uninterested in AI until I croak. Those are the paraphrases praised words of director Guillermo del Toro. The director recently appeared on NPR and discussed his new film, Frankenstein. The Oscar winner compared the fascination around AI with the arrogance of Dr. Frankenstein, adding that his issues are not with the actual technology, but by the general stupidity of those who control it. I kind of agree with him, but I still have no idea what was up with The Shape of Water. Frankenstein drops on Netflix November 7th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky, lows in the mid-30s. A return to a mostly sunny day for tomorrow, highs in the mid-50s. And partly sunny for Thursday, highs in the low 50s. Cooling through Friday into the weekend. Right now it's 48.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
What you desire. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Todd Alba.
Politics can be complicated from Washington to Madison. No better way to sort it out with three Wisconsin guys. Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olson join me next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Starting off the fourth quarter here. Tomorrow night on the show, John Roach will be here. TV producer, screenwriter, and director of the outstanding film, A Road at Night. John's been on before. He's going to talk about a screening they have coming up at the Driftless Film Festival. And then we have Carl Sarecki, who is from Door County Trolley and tells really great ghost stories about Door County. So that's tomorrow night on Nightlight. Right now, we get back to our friend Rob Thomas, Madison-based film critic and CityCast Madison newsletter, who joins us from Madison. Rob, how you doing? You good?
I'm great.
I'm glad to hear that. It's always fun when you're here. I love talking movies with you. Tell us about Frankenstein.
So Guillermo del Toro has like wanted to make Frankenstein for like literally decades. And like, he's kind of made kind of versions of this story. Like Shape of Water was about, you know, a monster and men. And like his last movie was Pinocchio, which was sort of a Frankenstein story, right? About a maker and its creation. And so this idea of like the monster and human beings and who's the real monster. And so he's finally got a chance to make it for Netflix. And he's spent a long time thinking about this movie and this book and loving Mary Shelley's book, because it's a very faithful adaptation, in a good way, I think, for the most part. Oscar Isaac plays Dr. Frankenstein, and Jacob Elordi plays the monster. And his performance is really incredible, because he doesn't have the bolts in the neck like Boris Karloff.
Right.
He doesn't sing Putting on the Ritz like in Young Frankenstein. Like he plays him like a giant infant, sort of, who's just like, just the way he uses his body as he's sort of discovering existence is so different than anything you've seen in a Frankenstein movie. It's really cool. And Oscar Isaac, I think, is pretty great. He plays him as kind of like an Elon Musk tech bro who is like pursuing all these, you know, radical medical developments and not thinking about the consequences. I would say it's a little long, and the third act focuses mostly on the monster, as he escapes. And it's a little dry after what's kind of gone on before. But in general, I liked it. And I was really happy I saw it on the big screen, because like Del Toro build these huge sets and there's all this detail. And so it's really worth seeing on a big screen to sort of drink all that in if you can.
I assume there's no bathtub scene with Jacob Elordi in this, with him as Frankenstein.
A Saul Burn type? No, I don't think so.
Okay, good. All right. Well, what did you think of Shape of Water? That movie, when I was done watching it, I liked it. I thought it was interesting, but man, I didn't know what the heck was going on. I mean, I could follow it, but I just didn't love it at the time, I guess.
Oh, I really liked it. And it was probably one of the most surprising Best Picture wins.
Yeah.
In the last 20 years, I never thought the Academy would go for a movie like that, where, you know, a hot fish man seduces a woman, and, you know, basically, right? And, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of like I said, it was sort of a Frankenstein story about this creature, and it's like more human than, remember the Michael Shannon character was sort of this government agent. And yeah, I really liked it. I haven't watched that, I don't think, since I saw it in theaters 10 years ago. But.
Rob, I want to ask you about, what'd you think of Roof Man?
I really liked Roof Man.
Same.
I was quite, honestly, a very pleasant surprise. Like, I've always liked Channing Tatum, but he's often not really gotten roles that kind of, I don't know. He's so, like, he's such a hunk, but he's also such a goofball at the same time.
Right.
Like, I think the 21 Jump Street movies caught that. Magic Mike a little bit. And this one, he plays a real life character, this sort of gentleman burglar who would rob McDonald's, but was very nice to the employees as he was robbing them. Like, there's a story at the beginning of the film where he herds all the employees into the freezer, but gives them a big coat to keep them warm. Yeah. It's so great. Like, he's like, you're just won over by this guy.
And then he calls the cops to go and get them outright. So right. He knows they're not going to freeze. Yeah.
Doesn't want to get the sniffles. Yeah. Right. He just robbed them. Right. And so the whole movie, he's kind of like this nice guy, but he's also a criminal. He breaks out of prison. That's a great scene sequence, by the way.
Yeah.
And hides out in like a Toys R Us. Like, he,
and, so cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, the one thing is that like he has this romance with a woman who works there, plays by Kirsten Dunst, who's great. But it's hard for me to believe that nobody figured out that this was the guy. And, you know, like he basically led this whole double life where he was like going to church and going out on dates and stuff like that. But it's just a very winning sort of comedy drama, kind of like they don't make him any like that anymore kind of movie that I was really happy to see. Yeah,
he was good. And I liked the message at the end. Like, you know, I don't want to give spoilers, but he said, you know, I wanted to get all this stuff for my daughter and my kids and material things. And he goes, and all they really needed was time with me. And it's such a heartbreaking message, but it rings true. And it's, I was surprised by how much I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of the pleasant surprises of the fall.
So let's get to another one that you saw, Rob. Sure. Blue Moon. This looks so good, and it's reviewing really well. This is Ethan Hawke, who is playing Lawrence Hart, who was the kind of the Pete Best of the Rodgers and Hammerstein. He left. I can't remember which one he was paired up with, but he was no longer, or he went off on his own, I guess. And Ethan Hawke plays him at that time, right, when he was readjusting to life by himself.
Yeah, well, I mean, Rodgers and Hart had been together writing songs for musicals and movies for like 25 years. And like, he wrote like My Funny Valentine, and he wrote, well, Blue Moon, the title. Like, he wrote all these songs that are considered standards today. But yeah, this film takes place on the opening night of Oklahoma, which was Rodgers' first musical without him, with Oscar Hammerstein. Yeah. Theater kids know all this. I'm sorry.
I was in that show. That's the only reason.
Were you really?
I was in high school. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a big hit, right? Yeah. So, and so Hart sees it like, oh, this is passing me by. Like, this is going to be the biggest hit in Broadway history, and I'm being left behind. It's all set basically one set or one location, this bar where the rap party is going to be, or the opening night party. And like, Hawk is like, I've never seen him in a movie like this before, where he plays like a totally different kind of character than he is. He's like this you know, kind of needy, you know, quippy, but really desperate and sad man who you know, is sort of lurking in the shadows as his former partner gets all this glory. The film, like he looks different. He's trans, and you know, Lawrence Hart in real life was like 4'10" or something like that. So they shoot him. Wow. So he's very small in a way that's kind of distracting, but also kind of convincing and kind of helps you let go of it being Ethan Hawke and making you believe it's this different person.
Kind of a Clifford vibe with Martin Short.
A little bit. I mean, it's not quite Dorf where he does the thing, right? But you know, it approaches that.
Yeah.
But he's really good at it. I mean, really, it's the movie's built around his performance, which is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that. Rob Thomas is my guest. He's a Madison-based film critic and is the editor of the CityCast Madison newsletter. A great read. So definitely check that out as well as Rob's work on his Substack. So is this like a potential Oscar role for Ethan Hawke?
I would think so. Okay. Yeah, just because it's like, I mean, the Oscars kind of go for that kind of like transformation, especially if you're playing a real person. Like I haven't reviewed it yet, but I just saw the new Sydney Sweeney movie, Christie, where she plays that pro boxer.
The boxer. Yeah.
Yeah. She's really good in it and is completely different than you've ever seen her before. And wow. That's the kind of thing that Oscar voters seem to really like, is when you could really catch somebody acting, right?
I hope that doesn't affect her soap sales. That's my biggest concern.
I think she'll be okay. I think she'll be okay.
Yeah. You're all sweaty, you're boxing. What better way to...
Right, yeah.
Soap up the loofah with your own soap. So you said, or I read your Substack review of Ballad of a Small Player with Colin Farrell. You seem kind of lukewarm on it.
Yeah, that comes out tomorrow on Netflix. And... Yeah, like I said in the review, I was never bored, but I was never really satisfied. Like it's Colin Farrell plays this high rolling gambler in Macau, which is I think a province in China, which is like basically the Vegas of that part of the world. It's just all casinos and these luxury hotels. And at first you think he presents himself like this, you know, this upper crust Brit, but then you start learning more about who he really is, and it's him trying, you know, he's losing badly. He's trying to get, you know, that one big score to kind of, you know, pay off his debts. And the film is like beautiful. It's like pink, you know, all these neon, and it's really fast moving. It was shot by the guy who made Conclave, which is very strange. It feels like a totally different looking movie. But it's just, there's kind of not much there. Like it's like, he's not that sympathetic a character. And at some point you're like, you don't really care whether he gets his money back or not. And then even he doesn't seem to really care. So like Farrell's good, but it's like, you know, I think you could start watching it and within 5 minutes you would know whether it's a movie for you or not.
Well, Colin Farrell seems to have that issue in a lot of movies. He doesn't often play really likable characters. Is that on purpose, do you think, or is it just him?
I don't know. I mean, he's in like every frame of this movie, like his front and center and close up. And, you know, I think they're trying to make him this interesting, dark character with a lot of shades to him. I just wasn't that interested in him, to be honest with you. I've seen a variation of this movie a lot of times where somebody is an addict, in this case to gambling, and it's kind of like going down the tubes basically. And it was just sort of strange. It was kind of like, this is the whole movie. They're like, it's not gonna be anything other than this. And there's some fake out plot twist in the middle, which I sort of thought they were like kind of getting a little desperate to have something happen. And it's like I said, it's a beautiful looking movie, but I just didn't have much substance to it.
Rob, what about another film, The Mastermind, you reviewed? This fascinated me. I want to hear your thoughts on the film, but on Rotten Tomatoes, it got like mid-90s critics and the audience meter was 32%. Where is the discrepancy there? What the heck happens?
I believe it. It was, you know, I go to these AMC Screen and Screen mystery movies.
Yeah.
And that was the movie a couple of weeks ago. And like, I could tell the audience was just not into it because it's like, it's sort of like a heist movie. But then it's sort of, peters out, becomes something different. And it's, I think it's kind of based on a true story back in 1970, where this guy stole a bunch of paintings from a museum in Massachusetts. And so it's sort of set up like a heist, but then he gets caught and has to go on the run. I mean, I loved it as sort of a character piece. The director Kelly Reichardt is one of my absolute favorites. And it's just, I mean, it's just so good at like getting the vibe and the details of 1970 America, right? It's like during the Vietnam War and the protests, but this guy played by Josh O'Connor is just very focused on like his own thing. So it's like, it's kind of a movie that I think promises more of a genre thriller than it ends up being. And okay. I bet that probably frustrates some viewers. I mean, I really vibed with it.
I've got one more movie to ask you about after this very short break. And then Rob is going to tell us about one or two things that are happening in our state's capital before Halloween. We'll do that next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open, brought to you by the Hotel Mead. We'll tell you something good.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. We're in the home stretch here at Nightlight on a Tuesday, broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. This Tuesday night, JB Thompson, guy behind the guy, Conrad.
Behind the guy.
Says he likes chocolate in his belly. I have to be much more specific with my questions moving forward. We will get to the rest of your text in just a moment, folks. We have a few more minutes with our pal, Rob Thomas, who is a Madison-based film critic and the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. Check it out. It's a great read, folks, and a terrific site. Rob, you saw the John Candy documentary, and you said if you like John Candy, you'll like the film. Does that mean it's not a great film, or it's just all things John Candy and it's great?
I think it's all things John Candy and okay. It's great. And also, how could you not like John Candy?
Exactly. Like, I mean, who doesn't like John Candy? Yeah.
Right. I mean, incredible, brilliant comic performer. And by all accounts, a very genuinely nice guy. And like, yeah. The film does a good job. It was actually made by Colin Hanks, the son of Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks worked with John Candy. I think it was in Volunteers,
Splash?
That movie.
Yeah.
Splash, oh yeah, Splash, duh, of course.
But I think
yeah.
You're right. I think Volunteer, they did two films yeah, together,
but,
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, but Splash was the big one, I think. And Tom Hanks is in the film, talks about like John Candy really taught him how to like do like improv in scenes and like play off each other and be kind of loose in a way he, you know, and but the film like, you know, looks at his private life, his public life. You know, he was a family man, he got really famous. There are some incredible clips from SCTV, which I'd not seen.
So
since.
Funny.
And he's so good.
Yeah.
He plays so many, like just so many different characters. Like I forgot when he played Pavarotti, like so funny. Yeah. And you think like he was probably like in his 20s when he wasn't that old and he was just brilliant. So, yeah, it's on Prime Video and definitely worth a watch.
I have to check it out. I still haven't seen it. I can't believe he's been gone 31 years.
Yeah,
he's died. Yeah. That just doesn't seem right. Rob, let's get to a CityCast Madison article you wrote. Can you tell for those of my listeners, and there's quite a few in Madison, what's happening this week leading up to Halloween? Sounds like there's some cool stuff going on.
There's a lot of good stuff. Yeah, there's I think tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night is the sort of the big downtown Halloween thing where you bring the kids, you can go trick or treating at local businesses. The whole square is set up with like all kinds of events and cool stuff, and it'll be a little chilly, but that's how it should be in Halloween,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So that's really good. And then I don't know, this is the same in other cities, but there's like a tradition in the local music scene that on Halloween, local bands like will play as other bands, like they do cover like an entire set. Pretending to be like a tribute set. So like at the Atwood Music Hall, there are bands pretending to be like Wilco and, you know, I think there's Queens of the Stone Age and a whole bunch of different ones. I always think that's really cool because you can kind of see like, you know, who these bands really love. Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, and some, I think take it really far and like we'll dress up and stuff. So, so it's coming up fast and then we'll be in November.
Very cool. And real quick, just Slow Horses season 5. How are you digging it?
I love it. Although every time I'm like, this is going to be over next week. It's only like 6 episodes a season, right? So it's,
yeah.
I think the next one's the last one.
Tomorrow, but, yeah, right.
Yeah. I think it's been a really good season. It's always like, one thing is like, I feel sometimes they never give all the characters enough to do.
There's a lot of characters. I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a very Roddy heavy season. Roddy's hilarious. But like River and, you know, a couple other ones don't get, even Jackson Lamb is not in it that much. So that's my one quibble. But otherwise, it's been a great season.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it too. Great stuff, Rob. Can't wait to do it again. Enjoy your office until your daughter gets home. And let's talk again soon, buddy.
Absolutely. Good to see you.
All right, you too. That's Rob Thomas. Check out his work on his Substack. He's so on movies and he reviews just, I went there today and I'm like, I can't even talk about all these movies. He's really a hardworking guy and does great work also at CityCast Madison. So, let's close out with some text, Con. What do you say?
Yes, oh, I agree.
Like that enthusiasm. John, in the 608 says John Candy is special. Is that what he said? John just dropped. Oh, he saw the John Candy special. Amazing man. Lots of circumstances. If you didn't love him before, you do now. I think everybody already loves him. And John says, great guest in regard to Rob Thomas. Couldn't agree more, John. And John says, this dude talks like everyone I met in the 70s. He's awesome. Do you think he's talking about Rob Thomas or John Candy? Probably Rob Thomas, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I never thought of Rob as a retro. I always thought Rob was kind of a contemporary guy. But, you know, retro's good. Thank you, John. Steady Eddie chimes in the 608 says, my dearest chocolate, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. My dear sweet M&Ms, you are crunchy and sweet and so neat to eat. Because you melt in my mouth and not in my hands, I love you so much. I'm starting to feel uncomfortable reading this, Steady Eddie. He says, sweet Hershey bar, you were my first true chocolate love since the day you arrived in my life, all the way from Hershey, PA. You used to cost me a nickel when we first met, and each bite was an inspiration. But that was long ago, and now I must pay more than a dollar for your chocolate deliciousness. But love, you are still a bargain at 15 times that nickel price. Please always be true to me, and I will always be true to you. Steady Eddie. Do you think he meant to send that to us, or was that...
That's a beautiful text. It made me tear up a little bit over here.
It was. I was starting to think there was... But a nickel? How old is Steady?
I don't know. When was...
I'm going to say low 70s. Would that be right, Steady Eddie? Let us know, buddy. Bridget in the 818 says, in a cookie, I love chocolate chip cookies. I agree, Bridget in the 818. And that's our second chocolate chip cookie text. That's great stuff. Anna from Madison says, Pete, please ask Rob. Oh, I just saw this. Damn it. Pete, please ask Rob if he saw Song Sung Blue, the movie with Kate Hudson and Hugh Jackman. I wish I would have seen this, Anna. I'm sorry. I really want to see it. I don't think Rob has seen that yet. And then 608 says, hey, guys, lightly salted.
She said that that's a picture of Fritos, too.
Oh, yeah. They have lightly salted Gross. Fritos. Thank you for... Gross. No. That's good stuff. I'm with you, 608. Thank you very much. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow night to do it all again. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, thank you to Rob Thomas. Thank you to Max Hay. Good luck with the film. And thank you for all your texts. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. Catastrophic winds and pounding rain from Hurricane Melissa. The eye of the storm has now moved off the coast of Jamaica and is headed towards Cuba. It made landfall earlier today as a Category 5 storm, one of the strongest Atlantic hurricanes in history. CBS's Jason Allen is in Kingston.
This hurricane came on shore hours ago, and things have not gotten any better. And consider that we are 75, 80 miles to the east of where Melissa made landfall. You know, just in the last 15 minutes or so, there's been a noticeable change in temperature here. Much, much cooler here on the backside of this storm.
National Hurricane Center Director Michael Brennan with where the path of the storm is heading now.
Eastern Cuba, conditions are going to rapidly deteriorate tonight. Be in your safe place preparing for damaging hurricane force winds, dangerous storm surge, and